League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975. And in between our podcast episodes here, you can read their blogs covering all things Houston Pro Sports over on our flagship site, sportsmap.com. On today's episode, the Astros dropping the series in Seattle isn't even the bad news. Houston is pushing the limits of organizational depth as the Astros' next infielders could be brought to you by Indeed. And Lance McCullers famously coined the term, bury him in the H. Judging by social media, there are a ton of fans with the shovels ready. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. We have a lot to react to. We have to get to Paredes, have to get to McCullers. We need to play catch up first, though, reacting to the Seattle series. Houston does win the getaway game in a laugher, which was big, considering that does help put a little bit of padding back between them and Seattle in the West. Let's just start with general takeaways from this series. Charlie, what do you got?
You cannot win a series one game to two. But I think it has a little bit of that feel given where things stood through four innings on Sunday. Right, Friday night, the B-tier bullpen guys all fail, and the Astros lose that game. Then Saturday, the latest Lance McCullers debacle coupled with Isak Paredes, gone now for weeks. Boy, that hamstring discomfort escalated quickly right to the IL. I think we all knew that. And then Hunter Brown, after dominating through two innings Sunday, needs 30 pitches to get through the third, 25 in the fourth. He's cooked. Astros are down 3-0, facing getting swept. The Mariners going for a six-game winning streak, closing within two of the Astros. The Astros would have dropped 8 out of 9. And then they go nuts on Brian Wu the rest of the way. Taylor Trammell with a huge game. Cam Smith, 1 for 23. Before a two-run double that ties the game. Then Christian Walker, who obviously has stunk this season. But even in defeat, two-out RBI hits in what was a doozy of a game Saturday. Then the tie-breaking homer on Sunday. Is the specter of John Singleton serving as motivation and inspiration? I don't know, but an 11-run burst. So losing 2 out of 3, suboptimal. But heading to Arizona with a 4-game lead as opposed to a 2-game lead, the bigger picture concerns aren't dropping a road series to a team that's been playing very good baseball. It's the injury toll continuing to mount.
Yeah, losing Paredes, that's tough. And we talked about it before the series started. Just don't get swept. They didn't let that happen. So they came out, put up a nice effort in the finale, get out of there. And I just think Cam Smith, he's just so clutch. Even when he's not hot, when you need him to come up with a big hit, that double in the finale was just amazing. So clutch from Cam, got the team going. And Charlie mentioned it, he's been kind of ice cold. He's 2 for 15 coming out of the All-Star break, and his struggles go before the break. I think a lot of it is just moving him all over the place. He doesn't know if he's going to lead off or hit second or hit fourth. I think overall, Espada has done a really nice job this year, but he's still a rookie. Like, he's been so good in the cleanup spot. He's your best guy with guys on base. I would just kind of stick him there. And I know there's injuries and Espada is doing the best he can, but he's a young player. I would try and give him a little stability, just stick him in the four spot and let him do that, especially since Christian Walker's been so bad. I saw Adam Wexler tweeted this on the 19th. That Walker for the season batting in the four spot, he's hit 167 with a 498 OPS, which are both the MLB worst, but he's hitting 317 with an 887 OPS when he's batting anywhere but fourth in the lineup. So I'm just kind of like, just roll with it. Things don't always have to make sense, but Cam does well hitting fourth. Christian Walker doesn't. So just don't hit Christian Walker fourth. And I think maybe this offense can get you through this tough time while you're just trying to get people healthy.
Look, Walker was back in the cleanup spot Sunday because who else? Yiner Diaz, I'm real weary of his undisciplined swing at everything act. Still at 14 walks for the season, 0 for his last 15 at the plate, sub 240 batting average, sub 670 OPS. And then the rest of the cards Sunday was Trammell, Dubon, Hummel, and Whitcomb. I mean, talk about patchwork quilt. And that's the lineup that winds up scoring 11 runs in the game on Sunday. So you really want Hunter Brown to stabilize, right? A third straight poor outing for him. I thought it was an interesting choice to not go with Framber Valdez in the series, which wasn't a be-all, end-all series. Nonetheless, it's your most serious threat in the West. And so to go with McCullers on Saturday, I think what that was about, Seattle's a pitcher's park. McCullers, a fly ball pitcher. Framber, the number one ground ball pitcher in the league. Arizona is the second biggest home run environment outside of Colorado. So let Framber pitch there. Try McCullers Saturday. That failed. But for those wondering, why aren't you using your two best starters against the second place team? Hey, the Mariners went with the last guy right now in their rotation in Logan Evans in the game on Saturday. So there's still some long game decisions to be made, even though we're now well into the second half of the schedule.
Yeah, and I saw some speculation about how much that may have been due to Framber having that line drive off his leg earlier. Maybe this was a way of getting him a little bit more rest for a few days. From my perspective, I think that this series was a good reminder of who Seattle is. I think, you know, you look at Saturday's game, even with a worn down lineup and seven relievers, it took them 11 innings to finally beat Houston. Then a nothing lineup goes and hangs 11 on them on Sunday on the getaway game. I mean, I don't know, man. It just, Altuve goes 4-for-13 with an RBI. Christian Walker, 4-for-12, 3 RBI and a home run when it's all said and done. And man, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Victor Caratini, who's, this guy's making $6 million a year compared to what Walker's making at 20. He's 7-for-13 with 4 RBI over the series. Also, while we're giving shout outs, Brandon Walter, 6 innings pitched, 1 run. So I thought there was some really good performance. And I think overall, too, you lose 2 of 3, but I think a moral victory is you hold the home run machine to 2-of-13 with 0 homers in this series. So Cal looked, you know, he was as hot as anybody coming into this series, and you were able to keep him quiet, you know, regardless of the results here. We need to talk about Paredes, but I think let's set some context, because we had news that Yordan was cleared to swing a bat as of Thursday, began doing so. Jeremy Pena is progressively resuming baseball activities, not yet playing in games. Brendan Rodgers wins the Astros Season Microcosm Award, getting injured while coming back in a rehab start. So on a personal level, obviously, we hope he's okay from that. But on a big picture rhetorical level, it's just really laughable, the freak accidents and things that are leading to injuries here. But then Paredes goes down with that hammy again. Now the Astros are looking at another one of their best hitters sidelined. He goes on the 10-day IL initially. But Charlie, what's the domino effect that we're going to see coming from here as Houston looks ahead at these next few games?
Well, Cam Smith found himself in the leadoff spot. They just didn't want to bump Altuve up to where he's been for so long. Right? He played second base in the game on Sunday, so it wasn't about the left field running him in and hustling into the batter's box. I just think they're more comfortable having him in the 2 or 3 hole. It's a weak lineup. There's no way around it. I mean, they have 4 guys in there every day who don't belong in a major league lineup other than giving someone a day off. Alvarez, Pena, Paredes, Myers. I mean, Yordan didn't do anything earlier this season since we knew he was playing with a broken hand, as it turned out. But he's Yordan Alvarez. Take him out. Pena and Paredes, clearly their two best offensive forces this season. And then Myers just having his best season and the anchor defensively in center field. So, I mean, the critical mass, it's pretty amazing. Paredes, no way he's back before August. This is much worse, clearly, than the left hammy he tweaked a month or so ago. So a little bit of Dubon. Shea Whitcomb gets a start and did get a hit, his second of the season in the game on Sunday. But the drop-off there is precipitous, and you mentioned the trickle-down effect. It further weakens the bench, though at least we're in an era where you don't use your bench much and pinch hit very much in Major League Baseball. But, I mean, Chaz McCormick returns Saturday, looks hideous, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts. they pinch hit Cooper Hummel for him in the 11th inning. Cooper Hummel, you know, 166 career hitter, 0 for his last 15. That's who you're pinch hitting as a desperate try in the 11th inning. So bubblegum, bailing wire, and the pitching needs to hold up. Hunter Brown reclining on the beam, Fromber staying on it. You mentioned Brandon Walter. How much juice can you squeeze there? Colt Gordon. And then there's McCullers.
Yes, that's a big one. I think for me, Taylor Trammell, man, he was awesome in the finale. I don't expect him to keep this up. But for the time being, especially what we're seeing from Chaz McCormick, I think you're happy with Trammell. He does swing from the left side of the plate, something the Astros have been talking about all year long. And, man, Bryce Matthews, if he could step up and really solidify something there for you at second base, or maybe they're comfortable moving him around a little bit in the infield. I'm not sure. He's a young guy, but that would be nice if he could give you something while you're waiting for Paredes to come back. And he's still got Dubon, but, man, Dubon's he's having to do double duty now with all these injuries. You're having to play him every day. So you just got to try and get healthy. I think Pena is like the one guy where you're like, maybe we could get him back, because it feels like a month until we see Paredes or Jake Myers, I think. So, but at least with Pena, like, maybe you could see him back in a week or a week and a half, something like that.
You know, it's been the formula of this season for Houston. Bench guys being called up from Sugar Land, being able to produce big moments for them. The only way this cart stays on the rail here is with that formula continuing to play through. But as I said in the open, they're really pushing the limits of organizational depth. I mean, my goodness, we talked about how unlikely it was that we see John Singleton on the big league roster for a number of reasons. He's here as of Sunday.
Yeah.
It's insane how fast this is moving, and we have to get into McCullers. Quick update here. Arrigetti, Javier Garcia, all throwing rehab starts at varying levels of the farm system here. Arrigetti much more ahead, Javier behind him, Garcia behind him. One of the big question marks, as we've been following it, has been Lance McCullers and what we're going to see out of him, and it's just not been good. I mean, I know they're looking for guys to eat innings, but that's not what's happening with Lance McCullers. They had to use 7 relievers during his game. But what's the leash look like for Houston and Lance McCullers going forward?
I could see it at just one more start. They play another 7 days in a row, the 3 with Arizona and then 4 with Oakland before the next day off. So they're going to go a full turn through the rotation before you have a chance to skip over someone. McCullers has been inept 4 of his last 5 outings. The ERA is up to 6.90. 3 innings, 83 pitches, and then the fiasco Saturday. He doesn't get out of the third. 2 2/3 innings, 75 pitches. And some might argue, well, if Bryce Matthews makes that play, you get a double play and it saves some of the damage. Whatever. A pitcher needs to work through damage every so often. You walk 3 guys, you hit a guy, and you sprinkle in hits allowed. He's a terrible pitcher right now. That's just where it is. Is he irredeemable? I don't know, but his fastball is not good. He clearly has no trust in his fastball as infrequently as he's throwing it. And, you know, you see enough curves. It's not 2017 Lance McCullers curve and, you know, sinker cutter type stuff. I mean, gusto should be warming up before the game when McCullers is warming up, because he's coming in the third or fourth inning as often as not. Brandon, you highlighted until the eruption fifth inning forward on Sunday, the best part of the weekend was Javier had 3 strong innings. Arrigetti had 3 strong innings. So let the race be on. Another outing or two at most to me in the minors, because, well, we don't want to call him up until he can go 5 innings. McCullers isn't a good bet to go 5 innings. So bring up Arrigetti or Javier as soon as they appear ready. And McCullers is the guy who has to be bounced out of there unless Gordon gets shellacked in his next couple of starts, unless Walter really hits a wall in his next couple of starts. That's how I'd look at it.
I don't know how that happens. It's McCullers. He's just so damn wild. He walks 4 guys almost every game. And you put that in there with the curveball's not what it used to be. The fastball's not what it used to be. How do you get guys to go chase pitches out of the zone? You don't do it by walking 4 guys and hitting a guy. And when guys don't think you're going to throw any strikes, they're sure as hell not going to chase pitches out of the zone. And that's why McCullers isn't effective anymore, because nobody's chasing. They're going to make you throw a strike. And he struggles to throw strikes in any kind of situation right now, and he doesn't have the stuff to get away with what he used to was able to get away with. And then pretty much every game, Charlie's right, you got to have somebody warming up. I mean, he throws so many pitches. A 30-pitch inning is nothing for Lance McCullers. This does not look good. I don't see how any of these other guys pitch worse than him. Even if they get lit up for 4 or 5 runs, these other guys will at least probably give you 5 innings. They're not going to get chased in the second inning.
And he gives you the teaser outing for those who, hey, you know, he's a gamer. That's fine. He's a gamer. He's a really good guy. That's not enough, right? That's not the totality of the job description. Leave aside the $17 million per year, right? The Dodgers start where he gets out of a bases loaded jam in the first inning and then was excellent. 6 innings, 1 run. But that's the exception, not the rule at this point with Lance McCullers. And there are better alternatives looming, finally, perhaps sooner than later, in Arrigetti and or Javier.
Yes, it's hard to separate the $17 million per year because you do feel like that is a reason why he gets the amount of leash that he does, not just because of his history with this team, but because so much is riding on the success of his contract. It's one of the things that we talk about on this channel, which is the fact that Jim Crane is certainly willing to spend, but at times that money seems like an anvil tied around this team's ankles, where they've had to power through Jose Abreu. They've had to power through Montero because the money that was attached to them, powering through Christian Walker right now and not wanting to drop him too far down, and now currently powering through Lance McCullers and his struggles to regain form as a starting pitcher. So it's a blessing and a curse sometimes, I think, the money that Jim Crane has spent, because there's so much disproportionate production happening right now from the value contracts, it feels like, versus the ones where the money is more committed. Jose Altuve certainly notwithstanding. Final thoughts before we're out the door, guys.
Trade deadline a week from Thursday. If Paredes is going to be gone a month, I think that should intensify Dana Brown's efforts to add a hitter, right? Paredes, right-handed hitter. It's been a left-handed bat that they've been looking for, but someone with more major league credentials than is filling out half the lineup. I mean, hey, kudos to Trammell for his big game Sunday. Zach Short had a 3-hit game a week ago. Cooper Hummel, the home run and the 1-0 win over, was it Cleveland, 2-3 weeks ago. But you can't be banking on that kind of stuff. And if it takes Jim Crane authorizing going over the first CBT threshold, they should do that, because the Astros are in a serious fight, right? They're close enough to Detroit, which has been staggering, to still be very much alive for the best record in the American League. Well, Toronto continues to play good ball. Seattle's pitching has gotten healthier, right, that the Astros could wind up on the road in the 2 out of 3 wild cards, not out of the pale. So to just say, hey, our Pat hand is strong enough, I don't think that should be the approach. I don't think that is the approach, but that's different from getting a meaningful transaction done between now and 5 o'clock our time, the 31st.
I'm just looking at the catcher play. I mean, how different this, especially coming out of the break. Caratini comes out of the break hitting over 500, hitting 538. He's got 7 hits and 13 at-bats. And then you look at Yiner Diaz, 1 hit and 14 at-bats, hitting 071. I mean, if this lineup wasn't so banged up, they wouldn't find it necessary to have both Diaz and Caratini in the lineup every day. At least I don't think they would, but they're so hurt that they kind of have to do that right now. I wonder, like, how do you guys feel as the year goes along and it's big games and you're getting healthy again? You feeling better maybe with Caratini in the lineup instead of Diaz? Crazy.
And add to that, hope Caratini's not pricing himself beyond the Astros' budget. It's maybe an extension of a year or two conversation that should have happened by now, and maybe try to get it done before he gets to the market in the offseason if he's open to it.
Yiner Diaz being bad offensively is a double hit, because you're willing to sacrifice some offense if the guy's a good defensive catcher. Well, if he's not going to give you on either side of the plate, that sinks that position. Yiner Diaz really needs to get it together. Just a quick message. If you're interested in advertising your service or product on this show, contact our friends on the sales team at houston.sportsmap.com/advertise. The link is in our description. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Next scheduled episode drops on Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed to this channel with those notifications on. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. Have a good week, and as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Brought to you by Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.